WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report, Elation in Israel. All 20 remaining living hostages were released from Gaza this morning, reunited with loved ones and taken to hospitals for medical checks. Gil Dickman's cousin, who was killed in captivity, spoke in Tel Aviv's hostage square.
We're used to being sad and even, you know, hopeless. Now it's a day full of hope. It's a blessed day here in Israel.
Buses carrying hundreds of Palestinian prisoners from an Israeli jail have arrived in the West Bank city of Ramallah. President Trump, who orchestrated the agreement with Hamas, is about to address Israel's Knesset in Jerusalem. The body's speaker, Amir Ohana.
You, President Donald J. Trump, are a colossus who will be enshrined in the pantheon of history. Thousands of years from now, Mr. President, the Jewish people will remember you.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. According to the American Cancer Society, 1 in 8 women in the U.S. will develop breast cancer in their lifetime. Isabella Nieto has more.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month and serves as a reminder that understanding your personal risk could save your life. Dr. Cecilia Strode is an Aspirus Health breast surgeon. She says some patients are at a higher risk than others.
We would like to see the cancers that we see to be screen detected. And for that to happen, we need women to have the screening that is appropriate for them at their particular level of risk.
Family history, genetics, and other health factors can increase your chances of developing breast cancer. Strode says while family history is an important part of identifying risk factors, it's a small part.
Most patients who get cancer, breast cancer, don't have an actual family history of breast cancer in close relatives.
Strode says patients who have received treatment for other cancers also have a high risk of developing breast cancer.
Women who have high-risk breast biopsies with atypical findings, women who have had chest wall radiation as part of cancer treatment at a younger age, before 30. And then there are some other things as well, but those are the big ones.
Breast tissue density can also increase your risk. Strode says denser breast tissue requires more detailed scans.
For women who have really extremely dense breasts, and that is an official term, extremely dense breasts, MRI imaging is going to be a much better way to screen.
Strode says even women who have had mammograms that appeared normal need to have a clinical breast exam in case they do need a biopsy. Strode recommends women get their mammograms and disclose any changes they have noticed in their breasts to their healthcare provider. For Civic Media News, I'm Isabella Nieto.
It's the Brewers and the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the National League Championship Series. Game one is tonight in Milwaukee. The first pitch at 7:08. Game two tomorrow night. Then they play games 3, 4, and 5 if needed in L.A. in a best-of-7 series to determine who goes to the World Series. NFL, the Packers held on to beat the Bengals 27-18 in Green Bay. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
A lot of these games are going down to the wire. You got to give Cincinnati a ton of credit for what they were able to do, specifically offensively the second half.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Bulls in Chicago 127-121. Doc Rivers likes what he saw from Giannis and their new players.
What we have is more guys getting downhill. Scoot's getting downhill a lot. Cole is getting downhill a lot. Kuz is getting downhill a lot. And Giannis gets downhill. Last year we had Giannis. So even though we led the league in percentage, we just couldn't create enough of them.
That's the Bucks, Doc Rivers, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, a chance of showers. We'll see a low around 52. Slight chance of a shower to start your Monday, then becoming sunny in the afternoon, with highs in the upper 60s to near 70 degrees. Monday night, clear, 41. Tuesday, partly sunny, with highs near 60. Currently, 53 degrees.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight from HBO's Task, I welcome Jamie McShane and comedian and host of the WGN Morning Show, Mike Toomey. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. It is 6:06. Good morning. It's a Monday morning, October 13th, 2025. It is another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, catching us on Facebook, YouTube, podcast, website, however you got here. We appreciate you getting your work week started right here. I got a question for you. Can you believe it is October 13th and we are still talking Brewers baseball? Yeah, because the Brewers beat the Cubs and eliminated them and their manager, Craig Counsell, from the postseason, and move on to play for the National League pennant. The League Championship Series starts tonight at American Family Field. I am wearing my Father's Day gift from one of my daughters, one of those Brewers Hawaiian shirts. And producer Parker Olson, down in Madison Studio A2, resplendent in his old school Milwaukee t-shirt with the glove logo. You don't see the wheat logo much anymore. It's pretty much all glove everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Olson, it's a great morning to be a Brewers fan.
It is a very great day to be a Brewers fan. It is hopefully a very good week to be a Brewers fan, Pat. I have a little stat for you here.
A stat?
A stat. Okay. The Brewers are 6-0 against the Dodgers this season.
That's right. Yes.
I'm not saying, but I'm suggesting.
I'm just saying, you know. There are some who are saying, because you know the old saying is Bucks and six, and they're saying Brewers and six.
Oh yeah,
which I appreciate the sentiment, but why not Brewers and four? You know, I mean,
let's
just go ahead and start with the highest of expectations.
Let's get crazy.
Why not? Because let's face it, after game four against the Cubs, we were all mildly panic stricken.
Yeah.
You know, about what game five would be like, and then game five turned out to be pretty okay, pretty okie dokie,
pretty good.
Pretty good. And now we've got some corners of baseball world unhappy with the Brewers, hating on the Brewers, because during the team photo at the end, pitcher Trevor Megill grabbed one of the Fly the L flags and held up the L flag up high over the team for one of the photos. And people are going, oh, that's just like no class. Oh, that's just... Do you not know the history of the Chicago Cubs?
By corner of baseball fans, you mean Chicago Cubs fans.
Oh, not even all. There are Cubs fans who are like, I'm a Cubs fan. I get it. We would have done the same to them.
I've only seen Cubs complaining about it, though. I haven't seen regular people complain.
You know, the people who like would back the Dodgers or the Mets or things, because, you know, they're expecting that, oh, Midwesterners would never, you know, rub it in. Again, have you met the Cubs? So this felt good. Yes, I've stated plenty of times my feelings about this are only amplified by Craig Counsell's decision to stab his team in his hometown in the back. So this has been, that was an especially good game, and especially when it was all on home runs, which was really felt nice.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, I kind of cheated a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I didn't mean to.
Uh-oh.
But this is a story of technology.
Did you use black magic?
No, maybe not. But see, on my phone, yeah, I get, you know, you can get score updates.
Oh.
And on my lock screen, you get these score updates. Well, it turns out that my phone was about either 10 seconds ahead of the TV.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. The TV through the cable system was about 10 seconds behind real time.
Yep.
And the phone will beep if there's a score update in something that I'm following.
Yeah.
And so for each time, Andrew Vaughn, William Contreras, Bryce Terang, they're all up. My phone beeps. Bing! I kind of look out the corner of my eye, and I say to Sherry, look at this. And then pop, and it goes over, and I'm like, yes! I mean, the first time I probably looked psychic, the second time quizzical, and the third time I looked like an idiot. But it felt so good each time, except for the one time it beeped.
And it wasn't us.
It wasn't us. It was tracking another Iowa touchdown against the Badgers.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, you can get off my phone right now. And I did. I deleted that so fast off my lock screen after that, because there was a Brewer hitter up, I forget who, and I hear the beep, and I'm like, oh. And there wasn't a home run. And I looked down at the lock screen, and it's like, you know, Iowa scoops up a fumble or whatever. I'm just like, you're done, Badgers. You're just done.
You're dead to me. Cannot dupe me like that.
It's not that they're dead to me. They're just dead.
That's
losing
also
to Iowa 37-0.
Yeah,
I mean,
they don't.
What's 37 might not be the over under on next weekend's game against Ohio State. In fact, I don't do betting, and I'm not.
Last I saw, I thought it was like 20. I don't remember if that was pre or post Iowa.
Now I'm going to look. Let's see. Yeah. 28.5, 28 and a half point favorites.
That's ridiculous.
They are four touchdown favorites over the Badgers. Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
And honestly, anybody who bets the under, no, stop it. Oh, wow.
Hey,
so that was the story of getting the Badger score updates off my phone while I was trying to enjoy the Brewers game. And let's talk pitching here, because Trevor McGill started, which was unusual. But again, Pat Murphy, genius. You get the kind of the yips out of the way instead of Jacob Mizrowski starting.
Needed a good first inning.
Yep, had a good. And then, you know, again, that was my most nervous, was watching Mizrowski. He especially when he gave up the one home run. I was like, oh, I hope this isn't what it is, because let's remember last year in the wild card series.
Yep.
You know, the Brewers were in a position to clinch. They were up two runs in the ninth inning, and Devin Williams allowed four runs in the final inning, including a 3-run home run by Pete Alonso.
That's what I was thinking about when Uribe came up.
Yeah. I make you relive all this just because It was in our minds when Mizrowski was on the mound, and then when Abner Uribe was asked to get a two inning save, six outs. And Sherry again is hearing me going, okay, we got six outs to go. Okay, we got five outs to go.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we got four outs to go. I mean, I was just trying to each one of these to happen, because I am very much an Abner Uribe fan.
Yeah.
But I also know that, like Devin Williams last year, you can have those moments where you implode. But he did not. He got the final six outs. And so the Brewers are in the postseason, advancing for the first time, winning a division series since 2018, when they then went on to face the Dodgers to go for the National League pennant. And they lost in a heartbreaking game 7, but not this time. We've exorcised the demons from the Cubs. Now we're doing it on the Dodgers. This is the vengeance tour.
Crew in six. Let's go. Come on.
There you go. So, that takes us to the National League Championship Series. It begins tonight at American Family Field. Coverage begins at 6:30 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, in Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Again, 6:30 for a first pitch at 7:08. The American League Championship Series is already underway. Seattle beat Toronto last night 3-1, and so they will play Game 2 this afternoon at 4:00. Ahead of the National League Championship Series Game 1, Brewers-Dodgers, at 7 o'clock. Now, the schedule sets up like this. It's today and tomorrow night at home for the Brewers against the Dodgers. Then Wednesday is the travel day. And then they're at Dodger Stadium Thursday, Friday, and if necessary, on Saturday. So Thursday, Friday, maybe Saturday, and then a travel day Sunday. And so if they need a game 6 and 7 back here in Milwaukee, it would be next Monday and Tuesday. So Monday, Tuesday this week, Monday, Tuesday next week at American Family Field. But we won't need that. We won't even need to come back to Milwaukee. But if we do, again,
not until the World Series.
We've got that home field advantage, which would be a big help in game 6 and 7. So that's kind of how it all sets up. Tony says, I was really nervous of who they would bring in if Uribe blew it. Yeah, me too. I figured it would be
Koenig. It would have been Koenig.
Yeah.
It would have been fine.
Something. Would have been something. Oh, by the way, the Packers played. Usually we're all in Packer gear at this point, you know. And the Packer game was fine. It was fine. It was a win. It was definitely not what you would call a sexy game. But,
no.
You know, it was a good old-fashioned victory. Josh Jacobs running for 2 touchdowns. Tucker Kraft barreling his way into the end zone for a TD reception. I really am liking Tucker Kraft. I mean, we don't always have a great classic tight end. So when we do, you know, a guy that can either catch or block, that's nice. And the Packers beat the Bengals 27-18. Josh Jacobs, not feeling his best. He had the flu. Said he threw up a couple of times during the game. Still managed to carry the ball 18 times, 93 yards. He told his coaches the last time he felt this way, he had 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. So apparently Josh Jacobs needs to play sick as a dog.
He's at his best in flu games. Cool. That's good to know.
Sure. Why not? Jordan Love, 19 of 26 for 259 yards. He had the 19-yard touchdown pass to Tucker Kraft and 1 interception. And it's not dominant, but it gets the job done. Tony writes on YouTube, the Packer game felt like the Browns game at first, where the Packers were better, but they weren't pulling the game away. Yep. Yes, I definitely saw that in the comments on social media. People still feel like Matt LaFleur is not, like he's holding them back. I don't know that I necessarily get that impression. I see Jordan Love going deep a lot, but it definitely didn't feel like a rhythm, I guess that'd be fair to say.
No, it's really odd. It's been a while since I've felt really good about like consecutive Packer wins. Like the wins against the Lions to start the year was really good. And I don't remember who we beat. I think the Commanders the next week.
Yes.
Those were 2 really good wins back to back. But yeah. Prior to that, I don't remember feeling awesome after a Packer win for a little while.
It hasn't. And all I'll say in consolation to that is, look, if you're going to feel that way, better closer to the end of the season, I guess. This is a rare home game here. You had the bye week. You had the other road games. Now we're on the road to Arizona next week and to Pittsburgh the week after that. So this was the only October home game for the Packers, and then they won't be home again until November 2nd. But again, they will take on Arizona next Sunday. It is again a 3:25 game. So again, coverage will begin at 1 o'clock on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you think I'm being a little too tough on the Badgers and you do want to hear a little Badger football against Ohio State next Saturday, coverage begins at 12:30.
Why would you
listen? On some of the stations across the Civic Media
Network.
Why
would you do that to yourself?
The Badger women's volleyball team, they got swept on Friday at Penn State, the 7th-ranked Badgers losing to the 19th-ranked Nittany Lions in straight sets on the road Friday. So they took it out yesterday on Maryland and beat up Maryland in straight sets. And they will next play at home Friday night at the Fieldhouse against UCLA. So,
and a sweep for Badger women's hockey against Minnesota Duluth.
I did not even know that they were going already.
Yes, they are. Hockey. They had an incredible win on a Friday, I think. They were down a goal and they scored with like 20.8 seconds left to tie, okay, and then scored to win with like 8 seconds left.
Well, there you go. All right. So we got plenty of sports action to follow, starting first and foremost with the Brewers. You don't see any other gear that we're wearing today. This is how we roll, at least for this week, hopefully. There's other things going on in the world, and we'll tell you what else is coming up on the program and go over some of the headlines. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly is along before too much longer. But first, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin's Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
So here's what's coming up this morning here on the program. State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire will be along to talk about a new package of bills supporting higher education in Wisconsin, which to many of us sounds like a no-brainer, but is not for certain parts of our legislature. And so she's going to unveil what she's got proposed and the difference between what others in the legislature would be doing for colleges and universities in the state of Wisconsin. We'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She'll join us, I should say, for today's history lesson coming up in just a little over 10 minutes. And then after 7 o'clock, we will talk about the government shutdown and how President Trump made his latest move related to the shutdown, firing like 1,000 people at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, because nothing says running a government capably than letting go the people who respond to Ebola and measles outbreaks and other things. So Dr. Lyerly will have some thoughts on that. We'll talk to a Civic Media Sports Director, Jimmy Cuska, of course, about the Brewers and the Packers. We'll be joined by our Civic Media friends, John and Gordy from Madison, Jane Matinere, whose program follows ours at 9 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're saying, Pat, please stop. That is too much. I cannot handle all of that. I can't stick around. Then pod the program. Get over to Spotify or Apple. Follow the show there and listen on demand. You can even, I don't know why you'd want to do this, but you could fast forward. You could listen at, you know, 1.5 or double speed to get through it quicker. But that's one way to do it, is get over to Spotify and follow us that way, or watch us later on Facebook or YouTube, and that will stop as you like. But those are some of the things we have coming up for you yet this morning. Yesterday came our Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow Sunday newsletter from the folks at Up North News and Courier Newsroom, and it includes our question of the week. Our question of the week this week deals with mining, metallic mining for things like, you know, gold, copper, zinc, and other other elements that we know are up there. We've always known they're up there to some degree. The question is whether it's worth the price to dig the mines. I mean, even the test drilling that was recently done up north had some issues, like sediment that washed away into a wetland and a borehole that was left open, which could allow for cross-contamination of aquifers. But there are others who say, you know, once they start mining, they're going to do it responsibly. So do you agree? I ask in the newsletter, where are you on mining? Is it, you know, no way, not ever, don't need it, not worth it? Is it, I'm open to the idea as long as there are really good regulations and protections? Or option C was drill, baby, drill, that the mining companies can police themselves. So what do you think of that? And you can send us a response by responding to the newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Tony asks on YouTube, Dr. Lyerly talked to Chris Matthews. Yes, the former Hardball host. I saw that she'd posted a video being interviewed by Chris Matthews for his program. Tony also asks about the, if you listen by podcast instead of speeding it up, can I slow it down to enjoy it for 4 hours? Yes, Tony, you can. But I don't know why anybody would want to do that. So again, thank you. And you can put your own comments in there as well in the comment sections of YouTube and Facebook. That would be the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. On the subject of, you know, regulations for things like mining and other environmental regulations, I haven't given this talk for a while, but I'm going to give it again because there's a package of bills put forth by Republicans in the legislature that went through the next step in the committee process. On its road to nowhere, this package of bills is going to be vetoed by Governor Tony Evers if it ever gets to his desk. But Republicans are always looking to make some kind of a statement by working on these things that are going nowhere anyway. And this new package of bills is all about attacking those pesky government regulations. We hear about regulations all the time. The headline for this Wisconsin Public Radio article, lawmakers debate GOP bills designed to cut back on state regulations and deregulation and overregulation. So here's the talk I haven't given for a while. When you hear regulations, when you hear deregulations, anything about regulations, take out the word regulations, put in the word protections. Because by and large, that's what those are. They're protecting something. They're either protecting the environment, or they're protecting you as a consumer, or they're protecting you as an employee. Now, I'm not here to say that every regulation is perfect and that every regulation has to stay on the books. The trick to being a lawmaker, as I discovered firsthand, is basically eternal vigilance, always being aware that some regulation isn't living up to what its authors promised. It needs to be modified, or it needs to be removed. It needs adjustments. But to erase regulations for the sake of erasing regulations is really just attacking protections. In other words, you're doing the bidding of some business or some group that wants to remove those protections so that they can, for example, drill as much as they want and not have to worry about those pesky regulations about groundwater contamination, or the regulations on things like, you know, child labor, because there are people that want to address the labor shortage in this country, not by fixing immigration, but by letting more 14-year-olds and 13-year-olds and 12-year-olds do job duties that we passed child labor laws a century ago to deal with, so that our kids would not be facing those kinds of troubles. But people say, oh, it's those pesky regulations. And so these bills are making their way through the committee process right now, again, to make that statement. And while they won't go anywhere, it is an ongoing GOP talking point that says Wisconsin is one of the most heavily regulated states in the country. Thank goodness, I like living in a state that puts a priority on protecting children from exploitation and protecting employees and protecting the environment. It's what makes Wisconsin such a great state to live in. And what say we not go backwards? We have got today's history lesson. Dr. Lyerly will be joining us in just a bit, starting with the singer and keyboardist for the group Chicago. On the way, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 97.5 WFHR.
Today, Wisconsin agriculture is waiting on trade opportunities, waiting on a farm bill, but they don't want to wait on immigration reform. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. We'll take a closer look at that complicated issue next.
From mealtime to snack time, pork has got you covered. Toss chops, rice, veggies, and seasonings in one pan for a weeknight flavor that gets everyone excited. Or add Italian sausage to soup for instant comfort food vibes. It's flavors worth sharing around the table because when pork's involved, every meal becomes the main event. For more crowd-pleasing recipes, visit tastewhatporkcando.com. This message brought to you by Wisconsin Pig Farmers and the Pork Checkoff.
Karen Gefford is the Chief Policy Officer for Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative and the Voice of Milk. Gefford says that it's become very clear to not only farmers, but also elected officials, H2A is not working for agriculture.
The rural workforce labor issue is a huge issue. Anytime I talk to dairy farmers, what we hear is labor. They need a reliable, safe workforce. And that's something that we from the dairy industry have been advocating for 40 years. The current labor force, immigration, visa system just doesn't work for dairy. And what we're hearing is our dairy farmers need an entry-level workforce. The only program that really exists that can address that is the H-2A program. And unfortunately, dairy is specifically prohibited from using that program, and it's seasonal.
Karen Gefford, Chief Policy Officer for Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative and the Voice of Milk. She says what they are supporting is not looking for just one answer when it comes to immigration reform and helping agriculture, but why not try two different things at the same time?
Maybe you remember finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too much carnival food. We all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs to share the fair story. We're accepting entries now, and there are cash prizes. To enter and see full contest details, visit MidwestFarmReport.com.
And in just the past 30 days, high-path avian influenza has been confirmed in 38 flocks, including 24 commercial flocks, 14 backyard locations. That's prompted the American Farm Bureau Federation to remind consumers that that could drive higher turkey prices for the holiday season. According to the American Farm Bureau Federation's Market Intel series, they say economic factors as well as the disease challenges have driven wholesale turkey prices up about 40% already. That's just a quick update on what's happening in food news on a Monday. More at MidwestFarmReport.com anytime. I'm Pam Yonke.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, a chance of showers. We'll see a low around 52. Slight chance of a shower to start your Monday, then becoming sunny in the afternoon with highs in the upper 60s to near 70 degrees. Monday night, clear, 41. Tuesday, partly sunny with highs near 60.
Currently, 53 degrees.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. You can win tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha. And Jane Matinere is in to talk about headlines. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
This song never fails to put me in a better mood. It's just nice and upbeat. It's Chicago. It's Beginnings. It was written by Robert Lamb, who turns 81 years old today. Songwriter, keyboardist. He wrote many of the band's biggest hits, including Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is? 25 or 6 to 4, Saturday in the Park, and more. He is one of three founding members still performing with the group that they founded back in 1967. Welcome to today's history lesson, where we are joined by the one and only Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Dr. Lyerly, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay.
Somebody's still recovering. You were not at the game yesterday. I was surprised to hear.
I was kind of planning to ride my bike there, because that is one of my favorite things in the world, is to ride my bike to Lambeau, tailgate, and then come home and listen. And I just wasn't pulling up to it. So we made soup instead and hung out with the boys.
You know what you should have done? Mm-hmm. You should have gone down the road just a little bit to where I was Friday to get roasted chicken at Schuster's in Denmark. Roasted chicken. Roasted chicken in Northeast Wisconsin ain't nothing like it.
I still don't really know what broasted means. It's broiled. It's roasted. I don't know.
It's a different kind of invention. A lot of people kind of refer to it as a Nesco as well, but it is something where you are essentially pressure cooking it and baking it at the same time. In other words, you need it. You need a special piece of machinery. You can't just call something broasted. You have to use an actual broaster. And if you do it, and if you do it right, it is the best chicken that you will ever have. And you get that with some mashed potatoes and gravy and some kneecaps. You know, not the kind that you're recovering from, Kristen, but the little pastries. Basically, it's a little mini
donut. That's a very Denmark thing.
It's a very Northeast Wisconsin thing, except it's not a mini donut. There's just an indentation, not a hole. And you put powdered sugar and whipped cream on that. And oh, my goodness. So good. So good. Anyway, let's get back to today's history lesson, because I'm making myself hungry. And this one is just for Alicia, who really liked the last segment, saying, I could not have said it better, Pat. Well, Alicia, this is for you. On this day in 1775, the Continental Congress established the Continental Navy, predecessor of today's United States Navy.
Alicia, of course, a proud Navy veteran, like so many other folks out there. So, you know, so much respect from us, the people who you have served and fought for. Not so much from the federal government, who has a lot of lip service, but not actual, you know, support.
Including not actual paychecks like right now. But happy 250th birthday to the United States Navy. On this day in 1792 in Washington, D.C., the cornerstone was laid for what was then called the Executive Mansion, later known as the White House. Again, this day in 1792. Happy birthday to singer Paul Simon. He is 84 years old today.
Do you have a favorite Paul Simon song?
Do I have a favorite Paul Simon song? Oh, gosh. Good question. Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard comes to mind. Yeah, there's so much. I mean, either with a guy named Art Garfunkel, who is a pretty good singer in his own right. And then he had such a great solo career. But this would also be in the top two or three, Kodachrome.
Yeah.
A couple of baseball notes here. On this day in 1903, the Boston Red Sox won the first modern World Series, beating the Pittsburgh Pirates in the eighth game of what was then a Best 5 of 9 series.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. It used to be stupidly long.
Stupidly long. there are some people that will tell you 7 games is stupidly long to them, but
yeah.
It's better than those stupid 1-game playoffs. But yeah, Best of 9 might be a bit much. Another baseball note. On this day in 1969, Billy Martin was fired as manager of the Minnesota Twins. Keep in mind, the Minnesota Twins had just won the division with 97 victories, but they were eliminated in the postseason by the Baltimore Orioles, and the team owner, Calvin Griffith, finally had enough of Billy's volatile personality and fired the guy that had just won them a division.
That sounds like a Minnesota sports move. Just saying.
It sounds like a Billy Martin move, who I get years later would be at a bar in the Twin Cities. I think he was managing the Yankees at the time and got in a fight with a marshmallow salesman in a hotel bar.
What? Oh, my God.
He had a way.
Yes. I miss those days of, like, you just hear about the ballplayers at the bar after the game. I wish we still got those stories.
I know there are a couple of bars around Green Bay, one or two that are still operating that were operating back in, you know, the glory days of the 60s.
Yeah.
And there are stories that can be told, and there are stories that cannot be told about the things that went on at some of those local watering holes. Happy birthday to singer Sammy Hagar. He is 68 years old today.
He seems like he should be older or dead. Either one.
Again, I mean, ridden hard and put away wet would be Sammy Hagar, who still can't drive 55. He'd rather drive his age, which is now 68 years old today. All right. One of those stupidly easy pop quizzes, I hope, for Parker here. Hunter and businessman Leonwood Bean was born this day in 1872. What business did Leonwood Bean begin?
If it's not L.L. Bean, I'm going to be really mad.
It is L.L. Bean. Okay, so congratulations on that. Yes. Singer Marie Osmond, little Marie Osmond. She is a senior citizen today, 65 years old.
She's a little bit country.
And a little bit rock and roll. Sacha Baron Cohen is 54 years old today. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is 36 years old today. All right, I am happy to say that last night I finally finished the, like, 5-plus-hour Billy Joel documentary.
It's good, isn't it?
Just to tell you that on this day in 1978, Billy Joel's 6th studio album was released. It was entitled 52nd Street. It would go on to win the Grammy Award for Album of the Year.
We all know these songs. We know all of these songs.
We do. Mm-hmm. There was Big Shot, Honesty, My Life, Rosalinda's Eyes. And so back to the documentary, I promised Greg Bach that we would use Friday's history lesson this week and would basically just be a Billy Joel appreciation segment. But I'm going to tell you anyway here on this Monday as well. You have until Friday now to go watch it. I watched it on the HBO Max app. It is just so good.
And it's so real. Like, it doesn't gloss over his mental health struggles and his, I mean, Christy Brinkley on the brink of tears as she's talking about their marriage.
Oh. It's not a lot of people can get all 4 of their wives or ex-wives to appear in a documentary and speak from the heart about how much they still love him. But, you know, there were the demons. Mm-hmm. And the same goes with band members, you know, who've been with him for literally decades. But again, as somebody who just loves great songwriting, the what do they call it? The beautiful torture that you go through writing what you hope is a hit. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you're just writing from the heart. And then his whole struggles with his early childhood and, you know, his father and everything else just makes it such a well done documentary. So, again,
I love it when they tell the full story, because then it really gives you the insight to who this person is and where their artistic fire comes from.
Oh, and I loved when he was talking about, you know, meeting Christy Brinkley for the first time, you know, at a bar in the Caribbean. And it was her and Elle Macpherson and another model who was a surprisingly good singer by the name of Whitney Houston. Like, what? What? where did that come from? You know? I have to make a correction here. There is a reason Sammy Hagar looks 10 years older. He actually is 10 years older. Troy and Madison points out that I'm an idiot at math, and he is 78 years old, not 68. Troy says, I was at his 60th party 18 years ago.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
Rock on, Troy.
I know. Now, that's a story. Now that you know how to use the text line or use the voice picture, I want to hear some of those stories. Exactly. So, anyway, so Sammy Hagar. Yes, I'm looking at the math here. 78 years old today. All right. On this day in 1979, the number one song was by Michael Jackson.
Now I'm feeling a little bit better.
I know.
Want to get up and dance.
Well, and again, people of a certain age go, oh yeah, that's from Off the Wall. Yes. Mm-hmm. It was the first track from his solo Off the Wall, the first where he had creative control of his music rather than the people who were doing the music for the Jackson 5. And it would be the first of four singles off that album and really launch his grown-up career, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. On this day in 1983, the first cellular network in the country was launched in the Chicago area by Ameritech. That particular network is now part of Verizon. On this
you
day,
got, wait a minute, did you have one of those giant brick phones?
I did, yes, and it was so cool. It's like, look, I'm talking on a cellular phone, holding up this brick to your head. It was so, and you thought that was the ultimate. It's never going to get better than this. You can take the phone with you. Mm-hmm. It did get better. It was still pretty cool. That was 1983. In 1984, the number one song was by Stevie Wonder.
I just called to say I love you.
Did that ever inspire you to call Sherry and be like, I'm having a moment right now, Sherry. I'm aww, just calling to say I love you.
Yeah, but it wasn't that song, but I'm sure there were others. This was from the soundtrack of the movie The Woman in Red back in 1984. On this day in 2008, 5 months after marrying Jay-Z, Beyoncé released a sassy song about it.
Y'all miss Pat doing his little hand flip.
Do a little hand thing. That's right. Yep.
I didn't even see it.
I can't do the other part where you're like, you know, moving your arms and it's...
You could, I think.
I
with
could.
A little practice.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah. Or
I could we do this tomorrow?
Fall down and
I think we can do it.
Yep. Yeah.
I'll train him up.
It would be the number one song for 4 weeks and win the Grammy for Song of the Year again back in 2008. A story that had a happy ending, a mining accident in Chile this week in 2010, came to a happy ending as all 33 miners who had been buried underground for 69 days arrived safely at the surface. What an amazing rescue. And I brought that up because I'm sure we have all forgotten about it, but we needed that moment to remember something good that happened in the news. And that happened this week in 2010.
Amazing. It would be amazing to talk with them about, like, it's been 15 years now.
Yeah.
So what was that like in retrospect and how did that change their lives?
I remember, I don't know how long ago now, 2-3 years ago, reading an article about it and how everybody was doing surprisingly well, except for like one person who never truly recovered from like their PTSD of dealing with it, you know? Mm-hmm. But again, by and large, a happy story. And on this day in 2016, Bob Dylan was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature, a category with winners like John Steinbeck and William Faulkner. The award was given for having created new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition. To which I would respond, how do you know? You have to be able to hear them. Yeah. There is today's history lesson. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, we will talk to Kristen more about the government shutdown. Because, I mean, after all, what good is running the government if you can't, you know, fire the people who respond to Ebola outbreaks? You know, little things like that. That's coming up after the news live from Chippewa Falls. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast.
It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this Friday, October 10th. 2025. Have your host James here. We're joined right now by our friends from Assumption Catholic Schools. We have Ryan Husted with us right now in studio. He is the director of campus ministry. Ryan, thanks for being here.
No problem. I'm glad to be here.
Always good talking with our friends from Assumption. Love our Royals and love, you know, Ryan, you know me, I'm a theater guy. I love theater. I love talking theater any chance I get. So we had to bring you guys in to talk a little bit about the Assumption theatrical production of Sister Act that's coming up in November. We'll get more into the details and the dates of it a little bit later, but I wanted to start right out the gate. This feels like a smart one, a choice for a play to do for Assumption. It seems a little on the nose, maybe, but it also makes perfect sense. I can't imagine, like, I know the movie itself. I know the play is a very funny thing. Having kids do it is such a different, takes it to another level, I think, of funny and humor.
Yeah.
How did the choice of this come about? How did you guys decide on this one?
Yeah, well, first of all, yeah, it is kind of on the nose. But part of it was simply because of that. I thought, you know, we haven't had a musical in a long time. It was 2019 when we had the last one, and then past COVID, it was kind of, we didn't have the staffing for it, and it's just kind of phased out of Assumption for a while. But when I came back, I was like, well, I definitely want to, like, be able to do this. So then when figuring out what shows to do, I thought, okay, all these different things you got to look at, but the biggest thing I was looking at, it was like, what is one that the community is going to love? What is one that I think the kids are going to love in terms of how the script is, how the music is, all of that. And I think this just kind of hit me a little bit because it was on the nose, but also just the music in it is such a blast. The script is incredibly hilarious. And just overall, like, it's such a good, like, it's just very ingrained in culture, mm-hmm. I think, too. Mm-hmm. Still very relevant in a lot of ways, too, is really, really cool.
I'll agree with everything you said there. And again, you know, bringing this to high school is so much a fun setting, or as far as the cast and all that. For those that don't know the movie, don't know the play, maybe a little bit, can we give a little bit of a synopsis, a little bit of a Cliff Notes version of what Sister Act is?
Yeah, so Sister Act is about a flashy 70s nightclub singer, Dolores Van Cartier, and she basically witnesses a mob hit. And so the police hide her in this stuffy convent until she can testify. But with her identity, a secret to the nuns, she's forced to act as one. So what else is there for a girl to do than teach the very sweet but not so sweet sounding nuns how to sing?
Right there, the concept is a fan. I would love to have been in the room when they came up with this idea. It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Great.
And so much of the things, the points that you made before really come home with this, and knowing that what the play is about, the synopsis of it and everything. It's such a fun show. How did it go? So for those that, you know, aren't that in tune with theater, and we completely understand that, doing the difference of doing your regular run of the mill production and a musical is literally night and day, no pun intended. But it's a bigger thing to take on. And sometimes the royal can be more for a musical than they can be for your everyday play. So to what Ryan was saying earlier about them not doing musicals, or really a lot of local theaters not doing musicals, if you want to see more musicals, for one, we want you to come out. We want you to try out for community theater shows and that kind of thing. But also, we got to fund these things. We have to be able to help out the arts in our states, in our high schools, in our community and everything. Oh, yeah. And so attending this show, you're not only, you know, going to take in a great show, but you're going to be helping them be able to put on more production in the future and everything. And you guys aren't just giving everybody a show. You guys got some a little bit of added things to this one. I see that they're going to have a musical gala along with it.
Yeah. So it's on Thursday is the first day of the show. It goes on a Thursday, it goes on a Friday, and then it goes on a Saturday. But on Thursday, our little special thing that we're doing is called the Assumption Theatricals Musical Gala, which includes, like, the classic dinner show that we've always been able to provide with our musicals. But we're adding a special aspect to it, which is our silent auction. And then we're going to have a couple raffle baskets with that, too. Putting all of those together is going to be super helpful. First of all, the auction is going to be super helpful to Assumption and the musical program in the future. But also, it gives you the opportunity to have this experience of a lifetime. You know, you come in, you'll be able to get, like, cocktails at our bar, talk to each other, have a social, been on those silent auction things, and then we've got Lori and friends catering our fantastic dinner, which will be just amazing. I'm super excited.
All that leading into the opening night of the show, which is a great idea, a wonderful idea. Certainly, you know, going to be helpful on a investing way of being able to help out this, you know, keep the musicals going and some of that. But a great idea to combine this stuff, too, because you hit on something right there of wanting a memory, wanting a moment. Yeah. That's where most people are nowadays. If they're going to spend their money on a ticket of anything, they want an experience. You're really giving people that with this. And Lori and Friends Catering is amazing. They're awesome. That's going to be a lot of fun. Can't imagine the items that will show up in that silent auction. They're always good stuff in those kind of things. Especially with Assumption involved, you know it's going to be. So that'll be fun. So the looking at this, you know, with opening night at least, you've got the cocktails, social, silent auction will kick off at 5:30. 6 will be the dinner with Lori and Friends Catering, as was mentioned. And at 7, opening night of Sister Act. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's a great night. Now, tickets for that, Michael, Ryan, I'm sorry, are $60 for that night, or are they for just for that night?
Yep. So if you would like to experience the cocktails, the social, the silent auction, and the dinner, and even a dessert during intermission, the tickets are $60. However, you could also just come that night and witness the opening night. for our regular ticket price. But you just come in when it's time. Just so you know, you'll probably be sitting on the bleachers. But it's really cool because Assumption's getting new bleachers, which this will kick off the new bleachers at Assumption. So
yeah, there you go. Nice tie-in. You know,
good little thing there. But yeah, so that's the price of that.
We'll tell you how to get tickets before we wrap up today and everything. But I'm also like to let the audience look behind the curtain a little bit about this stuff. Again, no pun intended. How often were you guys able to rehearse for this show?
Yeah, so we're dealing with a lot of stuff because here's the thing with Assumption. We don't just have people who are interested in
you. You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The remaining 20 living hostages released from Gaza today to cheers in Tel Aviv's Hostages Square. President Trump, who orchestrated the peace plan, is taking a victory lap in the Israeli Knesset right now.
We gather on a day of profound joy, of soaring hope, of renewed faith, and above all, a day to give our deepest thanks to the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
A disruptor ran through. He was tackled by security, Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Donald Trump is the greatest friend that the state of Israel has ever had in the White House.
Hundreds of Palestinian prisoners were released from an Israeli jail today and driven to the West Bank. An Israeli group says four bodies of the dead hostages will be returned Monday. CBS News.